Current State on 90.5 WKAR. Many thanks for joining us. I'm Mark Bayshore. When we think of capturing solar energy, we often think of these large clunky panels on rooftops that are expensive and inefficient. But what if your windows could capture the energy of the sunlight as it passes through them to help run your coffee maker or heat your house in the winter? Well, last week, a team of MSU researchers announced their creation of a device that might just be able to help with that. The device, called a transparent luminescent solar concentrator, could be a major paradigm shift in the harnessing of solar energy, says our next guest. Richard Lunt is an assistant professor of chemical engineering, material science, and physics at Michigan State University and led the research on this project. Welcome to Current State, Richard.
Thank you very much for having me.
There have been previous attempts to essentially turn windows into solar panels. What were the shortcomings in those efforts?
Well, let me take a step back and just explain what a luminescent solar concentrator is. And the idea has been around since the 1970s. And the idea is to reduce the cost of a solar cell photovoltaic system, because they tend to be very expensive. And so a traditional luminescent solar concentrator is constructed by taking a piece of plastic or glass and embedding it with a luminescent dye. And this dye is going to absorb some fraction of the solar spectrum and then glow at another wavelength. These are colorful dyes. They're very bright. They glow. They're beautiful. But there's a lot of color to them. And so what we've done is we've developed a system that can actually harvest the parts of the spectrum that you can't see with your eye, the invisible parts, the ultraviolet, and the infrared parts of the spectrum. And then it glows at another wavelength in the infrared.
So the dyes go away, essentially?
So there is no color to them, and there's a glow, but it's at a wavelength that you can't see with your eye. And so it looks very transparent, very similar to a piece of glass.
So is your progress then due strictly to looking at the spectrum of light here that is not visible?
That's right.
That's really the difference here.
That's right. We're focusing on harvesting different parts of the light. And so that's really what's different. You know, with these traditional luminescent solar concentrators, the colorful ones, there's been some thought about using them as windows. But if you look through them, they're quite colorful. And so if you think about putting it in a window, it makes it look like you're working in a disco, or at the worst, in doomsday.
How difficult was this to overcome?
Well, it was an interesting problem. And so we spent a lot of time searching for and designing molecules that could do this. And so we've been working with a real range of molecules, inorganic molecules, organic molecules, polymers, and figuring out the right ways to blend those together to make these systems work efficiently.
And from my reading, I saw that, did you create organic molecules here in this process?
That's right. So we're developing these organic molecules. They're organic salts, but we're also developing inorganic molecules as well to harvest different parts of the spectrum. And then we put these together to harvest all of the invisible components that we can.
Very interesting. How long did this process take?
Well, that's a great question. I've been thinking about this kind of application for a long time. I grew up right outside of Boston, and when I would walk around the city, you would look at all the area that there is in glass. I mean, there's just glass everywhere. And being interested in renewable energy, it really seemed like there was a great opportunity if we could come up with a way to turn those surfaces into solar harvesting solar panels. And so we've been actively developing these types of technologies since about 2011. But on this particular type of demonstration, we've been working for about the last year and a half. It's been very rapid.
Our guest is Professor Richard Lunt in MSU's Chemical Engineering, Material Science, and Physics Department. We're talking about a newly developed transparent luminescent solar concentrator that is here just was announced this past week here at Michigan State University. I imagine there are a tremendous number of commercial applications here. Where do you see this technology being used?
That's a great question. I think once you realize that you can make devices like this, it really sparks the imagination. And so you can think about deploying this anywhere there's glass, in windows, tall buildings, sunroofs, greenhouses, and even things like mobile electronics where you can put it over the display.
How applicable is this right now? I mean, or are we at the very early stages here with a lot more improvements still ahead?
I think we're very excited with our initial prototypes, and for many applications like e-readers and smart windows, there's more than enough power with what we've demonstrated. But I think we are still just at the beginning stages, and we're interested in improving the performance, scaling up the technology. And we've actually started a company that's working on doing just that. The company is called Ubiquitous Energy Incorporated. And we really like the name because it really tells you what we're trying to do. And that is to make solar surfaces that are all around us without even knowing that they're there.
And what needs to happen to make this technology more far-reaching?
Well, certainly improving the performance is an important target. The higher performance, the more applications open up. One of the limitations early on for a lot of these other types of technologies has been their aesthetic quality. And this approach really allows us to get a very high level of aesthetic. So we already have that sort of built into our system. I think at this point, it's really just about scaling up the commercialization effort and producing it at a large scale.
I found it such a coincidence that we were scheduled to speak with you here today, and the new iPhone is scheduled to come out today, and a lot of the buzz of the new iPhone is on the clear, apparently indestructible surface of the iPhone, the Sapphire, it's being called.
Right.
So you see applications to things like iPads, iPhones, et cetera, anything with a clear surface.
That's right. Anywhere where you have a need for a high aesthetic demand. In fact, if you want to integrate something on a mobile device, the electronics manufacturers who we've been talking to demand a very high level of transparency, or else they won't let you put anything over their surface. But in these systems, we have that capability. And it can serve as a screen protector, or it could be built in during the manufacturing. And it's the kind of thing that can extend battery life or make it completely autonomous, so you never have to plug it in again.
I was going to say, this sounds like the beginning of a whole new wave of solar-powered mobile devices.
Absolutely.
I imagine with a discovery like this, that with so many potential commercial applications, there's a chance it could be worth quite a bit of money. How does that work? Are you quitting your job tomorrow to settle down in the Caribbean or what?
No, I'm not quitting my day job. Anytime you are doing translational and transformative research, there's an opportunity to generate patents. And so this is something that's very exciting. But the amount of money that comes back for patents is relatively small. Once the licensing proceeds exceed a certain amount, the investors get something like 10 to 15%. The university gets about 70%, and the college will get maybe another 10 or 15%. And then from the 15% that goes to the inventors, maybe it'll be split evenly between all the inventors. And so if you take the case of cisplatin, that's one of the biggest blockbuster patents, cancer drugs that's been developed here at MSU. They had licensing proceeds of something like $50 million for the original molecule, $150 million total. So you're talking about 10% of that and then getting split with however many inventors there are. You're maybe talking about $2 million. So it's not, it's exciting. That's exciting. But we do this not so much for the money. We do it because we want to make an impact in the world, and there's value that we can add to products and develop new kinds of strategies to make the world a little bit more renewable. And that's what really keeps us going, is really developing the science to make these applications possible.
Does your solar concentrator have an inventor, though?
Yes.
Who is that?
Yes. So there are a couple of inventors, graduate students, myself.
You're one of the inventors.
Oh, of course, yes.
Okay.
Yes. And so those kinds of royalties would actually be split evenly between all the inventors, including the students.
How many are there? How many total inventors are there then to the solar concentrator?
On this, there's two, myself and my student.
And do you share any profits with the university then, though, or how does that?
In fact, the university actually gets the majority of the licensing proceeds, so they get about 70%.
Okay.
And then the inventors get about 15%. And the college gets the other 15%.
So put this in one kind of conclusive context here for us. Just how much of a breakthrough is the transparent luminescent solar concentrator in the field of solar energy?
Well, we think it is extremely exciting, and I think it's the kind of thing that opens up a lot of opportunity to make buildings more efficient and to add new function to devices that we already have. Is this going to be the final solution? This will be a complement to many other solar solutions, but this is something that we see as a very important tool in the Green Engineer's toolbox.
Let's talk a little bit about efficiency, though.
Yep.
Is it regarded as a major step up in efficiency, or is that a challenge?
So right now, that's one of the things that we'd like to improve. Efficiency is approaching about 1%. Just to put that in perspective, the best colorful luminescent solar concentrator is about 7%. And we think we can get to that same metric while keeping this very high level of transparency and clear aesthetic.
What do you see for yourself? I mean, you're one of the inventors of this. What do you see for yourself in 5 years? Will you still be working on some extension of this technology, or do you see yourself working on something completely different?
Great question. I think we'll always have one foot in this type of application development. This is something that we're extremely excited about, and we're going to be continuing to develop it for quite some time. And it typically takes about 5 years to reach commercial products, so we'll always be looking to make that next generation. But that said, we certainly work on a lot of different areas. In fact, we work on making next generation of light-emitting diodes for the display itself. We work on a lot of thin-film electronics, developing new kinds of materials, new kinds of semiconductors, nanostructured materials that we can make even cheaper electronics.
When you make an announcement like this, does the phone start to ring?
I have to ask.
I mean, it seems like it would.
That's actually probably the biggest challenge that we've had, is just keeping up with the excitement that there is and getting to commercial products as fast as possible, because the first thing people ask us is, where can we buy it?
Nice problem to have. Richard Lunt is an assistant professor of chemical engineering, material science, and physics here at MSU. Thank you for joining us to talk about your latest discovery in solar energy technology.
It's my pleasure. I had a blast.
Good luck. This segment is supported by Michigan State University's Knight Center for Environmental Journalism. More news about the Great Lakes environment can be found at greatlakesecho.org and on Current State every Tuesday as part of our partnership.